Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Splash Weather Repel Premium Windshield Wash features a 3-in-1 formula that repels rain, sleet, snow, and bugs while leaving a streak-free shine. And its advanced beading technology keeps you seeing safely all year long.
See safely on the road when you apply a little splash.
Pick some up at Walmart today.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Who Cares About the Rock Hall, a podcast about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm your host, Joe Quazala. With me, as always, is my co-host, Kristen Studdard.
It me.
Hi, Kristen.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm pretty good.
This is pretty great. This is great news for us, for both of us. Very excited. This is our second episode on the Pantheon Network.
Are you going to have to put an effect on that now, too?
Maybe I will. Maybe it's our third episode, second a ridge. It doesn't matter. Anyway, we've got a great guest with us here today. Very excited to have him. Good boy, great man, comedian, very funny. It's Whitmer Thomas.
Thanks for having me, gang.
Hi Whitmer. Whit.
Thank you for being a part of this weird thing.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me. Congrats on the third episode on the Pantheon.
Wow. Now you're going to have to do the effect again. Every time someone says Pantheon,
there will be... I'm not doing that.
There won't be.
It's too much.
It's too much. We've just begun and we've already decided no.
Whit, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a weird thing that people don't know anything about. What are you coming into this with in terms of knowledge?
Well, I know about it. I've been to it.
You've been to the museum in Cleveland?
In Cleveland. I went there with our mutual friend CJ Toledano.
Oh.
What were you guys doing in Cleveland?
I was on tour and CJ was working in Detroit.
Okay.
Oh,
and
right.
He just drove there to meet me.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And I remember it was fun. I think we had a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
There's like, you know, it's always one of those situations where you go in and you think, I don't care about any of this. And then you watch something and then you start crying.
This has been my experience.
Yeah, it's hard to, especially music of your youth, it's hard to separate that from intense emotional feelings.
Yeah.
It's true.
Have you ever been to the, this might be a little bad for me to bring up, but the Motown Museum?
No.
In Detroit?
Mm-mm.
Well, similar situation. You go into this dinky little house where they used to record all those great songs. You sit into a chair to watch a movie. You're like, this is whack. I just paid a lot of money to do this. And then you're crying in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
There you go. I think I would be more apt to be hyped about the Motown Museum than the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well, there's a lot of rock and roll there, though. I think.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
I mean,
there's a lot of rock and roll there.
I mean, it makes sense to me that there would be, and especially because there's a lot of Motown in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I just mean like as a concept, I'm not like as a woman, as a person, I am not like, yes, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Let's get into it. Well, but if I was in a town and they had a Motown Hall of Fame, I'd be like, yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah.
I'd just be more apt.
Joe is the only person I've ever known who's immediately excited and ready to talk about the Rock and Roll thing.
Well, are you at all familiar with the induction ceremonies that they do every year?
Yes. I usually will watch a clip of every now and again of one of them.
Is there, because you like the band that's being inducted or because someone that you like is doing the inducting?
Well, I love The Cure.
Yeah.
So did you watch The Cure?
I watched some of it. I thought it was really funny when the thing that was all over the internet of the woman
on the red carpet.
Yeah. And him going, I'm not as excited as you are.
Apparently
but
not.
I think that...
By the looks of it, no.
Are you as excited as I am?
Is it just me or is Anthony Kiedis always there doing
He's shown
something?
Up a few times. No, Red Hot Chili Peppers were inducted in 2012, and he inducted the Talking Heads.
That's fucking a weird pair.
I forgot that.
Yeah.
I will never remember that because it's too incongruous and I don't think I can.
Do you think the Talking Heads were like, what is this freaking guy doing introducing us?
Probably, because there's so many cool people who love the Talking Heads.
I mean, it is, that is a wild.
Then you get the bing bong guy.
Ding, dang,
yeah.
Dong.
Have I talked about that before?
We watched it, yeah. And then we
I don't remember
about it.
Watching it at all.
It was one of the ones that was on my VHS.
Oh, I mean, I remember.
When was the Talking Heads?
2002.
Oh, just yeah. Very on the outskirts of VHS.
Yeah, no, I VHS was a dying art form.
Not for Quizzella.
No, I was just
well, because there was no way to directly record from your TV in 2002.
Good right. point, yeah.
That wasn't a VHS.
Yeah, so I was using VHS to tape off the TV. I wasn't purchasing a VHS.
It was like people were burning CDs off of Napster, but they were still taping music off the radio, you know?
Yeah.
It was like the only way to do something off a live thing.
Yes.
I like to imagine Baby Joe going, Gatus, oh, Gatus and Burn in one room together. Could you imagine? Is that what you're saying?
That's what he sounded yeah. like, too.
Or, no, it was probably because I was like a little snob as a kid. So I was probably like, oh, why is Q's here? It should be somebody like, okay.
Sean Cale.
And yet nothing what has changed.
It should, yeah, should be Joe Strummer inducting him.
Yeah.
New music sucks.
I was like one of those kids.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't let myself love what was happening around me because I had to be better than everybody else.
I was that way in high school to a degree, but yeah.
That's what I mean.
I was down with new music, but I hated anything popular.
Yeah, okay. I remember actively like not listening to like Britney Spears when she first came out. She was so popular, and I remember being like, no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you want to be above it all.
Alternative, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
I do remember being in the mall and fifth grade and Hit Me Baby One More Time coming on. It's the first time I saw it on the TV in the JCPenney or wherever and feeling like such strong horny
yeah.
feelings.
That's yeah. a horny ass video.
It was
that
almost like
meant, it was engineered.
It was made in a lab to make yeah. young boys horny
yeah.
and discover
yeah, it was
themselves.
Engineered for horniness for Max. It was really done well.
It's really crazy. And then me and Brittany dated after that for yeah. about 14 years.
Hmm. 14.
Does she know this?
Yeah, for yeah. about 14 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's for like 6 to 8 hours a night. I drink.
We would be dating.
I date Britney Spears.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. It's been going
Shut
on for a
my
long
eyes,
time.
The relationship would start.
And we're dating.
And we're dating.
I think I also just equated that with like, you know, like being so mainstream. I remember being like, I don't go to tanning beds and I don't listen to Britney Spears.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's what all like, the girls were doing back then.
That was a big thing mm-hmm. for me.
The tanning bed.
Tanning bed, Ugh. Britney Spears. What were we talking about prior to this and how?
Oh, well, we were talking about Anthony Kiedis, of course.
Well, so why is Kiedis always in there? What's he doing?
I mean, I think they just...
He was paying his dues. That's what he was doing. He was he was working, he was networking, getting,
you know who's
making
there
the
a
game
lot?
Happen.
Weirdly, in the crowd is Chad Smith, the drummer from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes. Okay.
He shows up. You just see most of the Peppers just like hanging out in the audience of those
Maybe
things.
Maybe they're good speakers.
Their acceptance speeches were very good.
They were good,
Flea's,
yeah.
Flea's, I think, was like incredibly really emotional. Good. I think he cried mm-hmm. because this band, the music saved his life.
Yeah.
And he is going to let you know.
Yeah, right.
The music right. saved his life. And Kiedis is Benjamin Buttoning, just like, or he's just like reached stasis. Like he'll always look 30 years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he looks good.
Because yeah, that dude's like 50 plus.
You said I remember he was older than that. I think he was like 57 or something.
Yeah, right now he is. I think maybe the video we watched of him getting inducted like 7 years ago, he was, yeah.
Oh yeah, maybe he was like 50, 51. Mm-hmm. I just could not believe it. That was engineered to make me horny.
All I know about them, really, other than I don't really love their music, I think John Frusciante is incredible, but, and you know, they're all talented, I guess, but my favorite thing about them is from their Behind the Music that used to play all the time when I was in middle school, where, or no, maybe it's Weird Al's Behind the Music, where they play the clip of Yabba Dabba Yabba Dabba Yabba Doo now, and then it cuts to Flea going, I typically think the stuff he does is pretty funny, but that I just didn't like that. I didn't think that was funny.
Yeah.
And I remember going, cool, Red Hot Chili Peppers, you're out then. I don't like
right, that. Right, yeah. I think you had the same thing.
Wired, Weird Al. Tired. They were like,
we just didn't, it was about the Flintstones. We just really didn't think it was that inspired. Which they're right, but also like, fucking relax. Yeah. You want your parody to be like the best one?
Also, yeah. Your music is... already
it's
of
kind
music.
Of a parody yeah. in its own way.
Ning nang nong ning nang is basically yabba dabba yabba yeah. dabba dabba do.
What's the best Weird Al parody then? Like, what's the smartest, like, if you're like, which one would you be like, oh, I'm so glad that was, like, what do you think?
Ooh, okay. Well, my own personal feelings, just because, like, the song that got me into Weird Al Yankovic was Amish Paradise.
Okay, oh, that's yes, a really Amish Paradise. You are right.
I'd say Amish Paradise.
Because, like, taking Gangsta's Paradise and, like, this really heavy song yes. that's, like, in Dangerous Minds and then making about Amish people is very, very funny.
That is so true.
That's, like, a great... And I think later, for like the next generation, when he did White and Nerdy, that was like a similar thing.
Big.
It's
big
really
time.
Funny because I'm older than you guys. And so when I was really young, like when MTV was first, like in the late 80s, I remember being a little kid and thinking the video for Fat was like... really oh, funny.
It's incredible.
I remember the video for Fat and then the video for Like a Surgeon. Mm-hmm. Those were the ones that got me into Weird Al, but I never stayed there.
Well, because the bad video is like a short film.
Yeah.
You know, and then they take that They're seriousness.
In the parking garage.
And then there's like, I mean, I had yeah. the VHS again of Weird Al's videos and I watched it a lot. And like, there's two like big fat guys who are trying to make thin Al like a fat guy, and the line I will never forget is "Ding dong, man!
Oh yeah,
ding dong, yo, ding dong!" And he's like, "No, no!" And then he transforms. That concept though has not
it's
aged
problematic.
Well.
Yeah, a lot he's of things in, about Michael Jackson are
including
not,
a Weird Al parody,
not aged yeah. well, including the parody of
well, both Matt. Both the Michael Jackson parodies are
about food
and yeah.
Oh yeah, Eat It. I also remember the Eat It video as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I do genuinely think that Amish Paradise is probably, if you were going to be the most excited that he did, that's probably the best one.
Yeah, Coolio I think didn't like it.
Well, right, Coolio was...
Coolio did not like it.
He was very publicly upset about it.
Yeah.
He was like, they asked me if I would give them permission. I said no, and they did it anyway. And Al was very upset because he's very principled about like, if I ask them for permission, if they say no, I won't do it.
Well, what happened? The wires get crossed?
Yeah, miscommunication.
Man, Florence Henderson was in that video, too.
Yeah.
Wasn't
yeah,
she churning
she
butter
was.
In
yes,
it?
She yeah. was. She played, yeah.
Yeah, she played an Amish lady.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mark Mothersbaugh didn't, like, Dare to be Stupid.
No, he loved it, but he went, like, because he's in the Weird Al Behind the Music, and he was like, they did Devo better than Devo. And I hate him for it.
Oh,
so
right.
He was being like kind of
cheeky.
Yeah, cheeky.
Yeah,
cheeky.
Yeah. Okay, he's cool then.
he's back on the good list.
That was a good one.
A little bit of Rock Hall news.
Oh boy.
Hours ago, we lost I.M. Pei, the 102-year-old architect of the museum.
Oh.
And he also, I mean, he's done a lot of, he's a, you know, world-renowned architect.
I was like, if he is a rock musician, I don't know him at all.
No,
but as an artist, yes.
And he did the addition to the Louvre.
Yes.
And a lot of, you know, very famous architecture work.
I was just very curious of how this was going to relate to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but now I see.
He apparently does not know or really like rock and roll, which I think is funny.
R.I.P. I.M. Pei.
Lived a long life. 102 years old.
Yeah, that's no joke.
Good for him. He's probably always died thinking about buildings, which is stuff he loved.
Just really,
probably died in a building, I bet.
He might have.
I hope it wasn't outside.
Odds are good. Odds are good that at 102.
For a 102-year-old man.
Although... Oh man! If I was
take him out to pasture, make him look at a nice little babbling brook as he.
If I was 102 nice. And I knew it was coming for me, I'd be like, "Take me outside. Mm-hmm. I want to feel the wind like blow on
away.
My skin. You know, I don't want to be this is getting morbid and not about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
They have these kiosks at the museum where you can say who you want to be in the hall, who hasn't been inducted yet, of people who are eligible. And recently, Motley Crue took over the number one spot.
What? Wait, who was the crazy thing that was in the first place for a while?
Oh, Freddie Mercury solo
solo was in number one,
which is insane. It wasn't number one, but it was like climbing. It's still at number six.
What?
It's clearly off the strength of movies is what people are voting for, because that movie The Dirt came out about Motley Crue.
Oh man, that movie.
So that has been climbing. Motley Crue. I'll do what the top 10 is currently.
Can I guess? Can I say some names and you tell me if they're in there?
Sure.
Pat Benatar.
No.
She's not in the top 10?
Wow. Are you eliminated from this game?
Cher.
No. Oh, yes. Cher's number 7. Excuse me.
Okay.
Barry Rothbart.
Comedian Barry Rothbart is unfortunately not in the top 10.
Okay.
But he is in Wolf of Wall Street.
Yes.
Are the Smashing Pumpkins in top 10?
No.
Are the Doobie Brothers in the top 10?
No. This seems like it might take a long time.
Fahim Anwar.
Would you meet Fahim Anwar?
No?
No.
Damn.
I'm so sorry. This is at the, I should remind you, this is at the Rock Hall, not the Laugh Factory.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
These aren't the names on the Comedy Store walls.
Gotcha.
Number 10 is Boston.
And number nine is one of Jay Leno's cars.
Rage Against the Machine. Phil Collins solo. Cher, Freddie Mercury solo, Weezer, Dave Matthews Band, Iron Maiden, and then the top two, number one is Motley Crue, having unseated the former top one of people voting at the Rock Hall, Blink-182.
No way!
Yes way.
All right. That's cool. I was going to ask about that.
Yeah, they were a top spot for a while.
When was their first year eligibility?
I think it's this year.
Wow.
There's disputes because they had a demo that came out in 93, but really their first available recording was 94, which was something called Buddha.
Yeah.
Which was still kind of demo-y, but people could buy it and it was like released on a label.
Yeah, Buddha was their demos exactly put out on a label, and then they came out with a real record of the same songs but no longer demos called Cheshire Cat.
Right.
Or Cheshire.
Cheshire?
Cheshire.
Wait, this is the band that you've brought in today.
Yeah.
What makes you so connected to this band? What? Why do you want to talk about them?
Well, I love them. They're my favorite band. They're the first CD I ever got. My brother and my cousin went to the CD store, and they said, we're going to pick you out some albums. They got me.
Were they older than you and they were just like trying to form your musical taste?
5 years older.
Mm-hmm.
This was 1998.
Okay.
And they got me Cheshire Cat by Blink, and they got me a Survival of the Fattest Records compilation.
Oh,
album.
A Fat Records compilation.
And so it was great, life-changing. Mm-hmm. Absolutely life-changing. And there was no going back.
Yeah.
From then on, Blink 182 was my favorite band, and I was fortunate because that was right before Enema of the State came out.
I was going to ask, because you had mentioned before not wanting to like things that were popular.
Right. Well, see, I grew up in Alabama, so Blink 182 was never popular.
Okay, even
when
they blew up?
Even like...
Because it's country to town?
Yeah, it was like...
Country,
hip-hop,
country? Because it's country, country?
Hip-hop, country, and then where I was from, it was like... Dave Matthews Band and Jack Johnson and Sublime.
Okay.
And Sublime...
I'm like, Sublime is like Blink adjacent
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, but they had this reggae stoner thing, and I'm from a beach town in Alabama, so, you know, it was...
It fit.
It fit.
Too hard. Blink was too hard for this beach town?
I think Blink was too silly and like...
Mm-hmm. Irreverent.
Yeah, exactly. They wanted... You know, they couldn't wrap their heads around it.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much.
What are they doing?
Yeah. What are they even
talking
about?
What are these lyrics? They're so mystifying.
Yeah.
Layered poetry. I don't understand.
Were you skating at that time?
Yes.
Did that...
Did you skate before Blink?
Yes.
Okay, so did it feel like a marriage made in heaven?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, my older brother got me into skating too. He was in a cover band called Toxic Toothpaste, and they covered Damn It by Blink. And I knew that song. They covered Damn It by Blink, Brohem by Pennywise, and then My Right by Screeching Weasel. So I knew these songs, but I didn't know who the bands were. I probably just thought that my brother's band wrote them. And then when I got, you know, what I was saying is like I got Cheshire Cat, and then I got Dude Ranch, and then Enema of the State came out, and they were more accessible. And so I kind of got to discover them in the order that they are meant to be discovered.
Right.
And, yeah, I guess they sort of...
You grew up with them.
I did. They evolved as I got older.
Yeah.
And then stopped.
Thank God they stopped. I think it'd be really lame if they were, like, trying to...
Oh, I'm so glad that, like, they're not pulling a Weezer and still putting out the trying to write music like they were in high school.
Well, no, I'm saying they do still do that. And I think that that's...
I hate that.
Do
they still put out music?
Yeah,
they don't
They had like kind of a relatively big hit like a year or two ago.
They had two huge hits 2 years
ago. Huge?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they knocked Drake out of the number one.
Really?
Yes, you host this music podcast. You don't seem to know anything.
Oh, no. Yeah, about the most important music in the world. What were the songs that knocked Drake out?
A song called Bored to Death.
And that was a song I didn't think I knew, but then I played it and I was like, oh, I recognize this because like K-Rock was playing it a lot. Yeah. And, like, yeah.
I do not listen to alternative music radio anymore at all.
Oh, okay.
Like, full stop. We've talked about this before too. I mostly listen to rap and pop radio.
Yeah.
It might have been a big enough song. I don't know.
They had a lineup change. Blink.
Yeah.
Because one of their members went and started some other band. And then they had a lineup change. And everybody was like, well, yeah, good luck. And they put out their new record and they were going on this like smaller theater tour. And they weren't able to predict how successful it would be. So they had to re-gear their whole tour and do these bigger venues and all this stuff.
Well, I think too, like Blink 182 is just like a generation's band. Like they are in many ways like as big to people growing up in the early 2000s as like Nirvana was to people growing up in the early 90s.
Yeah.
You know, like that's like their band. It's like
they defined a kind of movement in music. They kind of defined this pop punk genre. They're like kind of the godfathers of that. Especially because of the bands that came after them were so clearly influenced by Blink 182.
Yeah, they invented a new style of singing. Yeah. All together, which is the whole meow thing,
like not hiding the SoCal accent,
right? Yeah, no one was doing that. Then they came out and they did it, and now you know it's like in the zeitgeist of music. So many people have copied the voices,
and presumably artists not even from that area.
Oh yeah, no, there's British bands who sing like
spoilers.
Yeah. Yeah,
you do it very well.
Yeah
you do the what are those lines,
where are you, and then yeah. Spiders, and then
mashing up their insides.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
where are you, and I'm so sorry, I cannot sleep, I cannot dream tonight.
I mean, they've shaped every aspect of my life. Got into Blink as a kid, started playing music because their songs were easy enough to learn how to play. Then, you know, based on that, then, you know, you do the thing of like seeing what shirts they're wearing and then going and listening to those bands, you know, if they're wearing some Descendants shirt or whatever, and then you go and figure out who the Descendants are.
Yeah.
And then it overflowed into comedy. Like, I used to tell a joke about Blink 182 and they found out about it.
This is a lovely story, listeners. It's like it's such a sweet and nice. I like it so much. It's like George's
Bruce story.
Springsteen story. It's like so good.
We have a friend who was a huge Bruce fan who like figured out a way and like kind of made, did like a Hail Mary pass and then ended up on stage with Bruce Springsteen at a concert.
Whoa.
Like dancing, like doing dancing in the
playing
dark.
Playing a guitar.
Yeah.
Like it was crazy.
That's really cool.
So this is kind of like your your version.
Well, because you had a very funny joke about, I mean, the song that we were just singing, I Miss You.
Yeah.
About the way that Tom sings.
Yeah,
it was
one
song.
Of my first bits. Like 8 years ago or however mm-hmm. long. And it was, I just would talk about the idea of getting older and trying to adapt to getting older as a person in a pop punk band, and how Blink has two singers, and it seems like Mark Hoppus is sort of open to the change of aging.
Uh-huh.
He's down to age and he's comfortable with it, and you can really feel it in the song Miss You, because his voice, he's like kind of leaning into his mid-30s, and then Tom comes in and he's like, nope, with the Where Are You, and
yeah, still a boy,
yeah, no, who cares, we're not old, and it's fine. And then yeah, so that's the idea. And so I did that, and I did it at a comedy festival, and someone took a photo of it, and
probably a video.
Well, no.
No, just it's just a picture photo. Of it. And the...
and they said Whitmer
with
Thomas.
With a caption.
Whitmer yeah. Thomas talking about Blink-182. And the audience is like loving. They're laughing. And I'm laughing on stage. And then Mark wrote, what is this? He like responded.
Yeah.
And I was filming, classic Whitmer Thomas, was filming my friend Skate. And I had my phone on airplane mode. So I wasn't getting, but everybody was texting me. And so then I turned my phone on a couple hours later and I have all these texts, mm-hmm. like as if it's like my birthday or something.
Right.
Mark responded to something you tagged in. Oh my God. And then it turned out that he went and found a video of me doing it.
Yeah.
Of the first time I ever did the joke.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so
wow.
it's really sloppy. And I think I make fun of him a lot in it, mm-hmm. which the joke evolved to where I no longer really made fun of either of them. It was just kind of about
an observation. Yeah.
So he found it and he's like, I think it's really funny. I also think everybody from San Diego is, like acts like they got in a car crash or something like that. It was like, I was making fun of San Diego, and, one thing led to another, and, Jonah Ray said, if you ever need a drummer to play in between acts at your comedy show, I think it'd be funny if I played drums just like alone. And then Mark was like, I think I should play bass. And he like responded to both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wrote, haha, yeah, right. I'll kill myself because I'll have that's my dream. And then he hit me up over DM and was like, no, I think it'd be funny. I don't have anything going on right now.
The so, magic of social media. Yeah. This is the good.
All. Connects us all.
Yeah. And it was just a magical time. And then, we did a whole bit at my show where we were just goofing off, me and Jonah, just kind of making fun of Jonah Ray as he was just playing drums by himself in between mm-hmm. comedians, and how awkward it was and sounded. And then I was like, maybe I'll try to play guitar. And this is at the end of the show. I was like, oh, we still sound like shit. We need texture. And then Mark was planted in the center of the audience and he said, I can be texture. And Mark had hinted that he was going to do something at the show.
So, like, a lot of people
there
were there.
There was probably, like, in a, 250 seats at this venue, the Satellite, there was probably 100 diehard, follow everything Mark Hoppus does, Blink-182 fans there.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started playing Damn It, and the everybody pushed the tables and chairs to the side, and it just became this, like, free-for-all mosh pit, people jumping on stage. It was insane. It was like it was the best night of my life, no question. And then we closed. We did some covers. We did a Nirvana cover and a Dinosaur Jr. cover and a cover of The Cure, and then closed with I Miss You.
Right, and you got to basically do
yeah,
the
you
bit.
Got to do
we
the
did
bit.
The bit pretty much.
Do the bit with music.
Mark
and Mark
set
Hoppus.
It up.
Yeah.
He told the story and then set up the bit, and it was great. It was a full on dream. And there's a video of it on YouTube, but I think my name is misspelled.
What? But, is it spelled like Whitmer?
Something like that, yeah.
Come on.
White Mayor.
Yeah, you know, I get Tomas. In Ubers all the time, Uber or Lyft, and someone goes, your name is, it's usually someone who, whatever, and they go, your name is White and you're white. That's like a really common thing that people say. When I get, usually English as a second language, they're kind of just like, that name is, because my name on the Uber app is what, Wit. And they're like, oh, that name is White. And this is a white ass guy walking towards my car. That's funny.
That's so cool that that all happened to you. Were you?
Yeah, it's been truly downhill ever since. Like, that was great. That was three or four years ago. And really, like, just nothing since.
I mean, it's hard to, I'll say it, you peaked.
Yeah.
Now, I was there in the audience, and it was.
No way!
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I don't, it's all a blur.
There was also literally hundreds of people there, but yeah, I was there, and it was watching you be the happiest little boy.
And it's like, you get to literally live your dream. You get to do comedy and music with your hero doing the song that you wrote a joke about. I mean, really, what's better? That's it. You done did it.
Yeah. And he couldn't have been nicer. He was saying cool stuff all night. Like, dude, it's been a long time since I played a show where the people are like this close to me. And
My
friend Brock from Alabama came, and Brock actually taught me how to play the song Carousel by Blink-182 on the bass when I was in sixth grade. And he came and watched, and I was like, this is Brock. He's like, he's the one who taught me all about how to play bass. And Mark would talk to him for a while, and it was just like, it was wild.
Surreal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have his phone number? You like, do you guys text each other?
Yeah. If I, something, you know, I'll.
Something's relevant to his interests.
Yeah. I'm not going to bother him too much. He's a very giving guy, and I imagine I'm not the only person he's done some life-changing shit to. But if they play in LA, I would go text him and say, can I go watch? You know?
They're coming. They're coming.
They're touring with Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
With Lil Wayne.
Isn't that crazy?
That'll be interesting. Yeah, a merge of hip hop and pop punk.
Wouldn't that have been funny if you hit him up and he got you tickets to Firefest before they canceled?
Yeah, I haven't talked to him about Firefest. I think he truly was like, I just don't want to play Firefest because they didn't have the equipment for us to actually play. And we found out.
Could sniff out that, they weren't
that
ready.
That it was not above board, that something was very wrong with that festival. I love the idea of Lil Wayne and Blink-182 touring together because it is like the year 2001 came to life. Like, that is the real, that's some real 2001 stuff.
I feel like Lil Wayne was a little bit later than that, or maybe I just wasn't cool and I didn't hear about Lil Wayne until later.
Yeah, well, no, Lil Wayne, what was his first big song?
Well, because he's on, he's like on a track with like seven other rappers, and I want to say it's maybe Back That Ass Up.
I don't,
right? Isn't he?
I think he is on Back That Ass Up. He's on Soldier with Destiny's Child. And that was like,
I feel like before he had his big
2000, that's like one of his first things was showing up on stuff. He was on Soldier in like 2000, I want to say, maybe 2001.
Because the Carter wasn't until 2004.
But that was his big breakthrough.
To me, that was his, but also, again, I'm lame. So
I didn't know nothing about Lil Wayne.
Until he started touring with Blank.
Well, I remember it being like 2009, and there was a documentary that came out about him that he got pulled.
Was it because he was drinking scissor?
Yeah, and he was really mean, and we found it, and we downloaded it and watched it illegally, and he comes off like a really bad guy in it. But anyway, that was my introduction to him, and I was like, what songs does this guy sing? Mm-hmm. And then I think still to this day, the only song I know of his is that...
Lollipop?
I got a lot of crooks trying to steal your heart. You know that song? How to Love. That's what
okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mrs. Officer, for some reason, really connected
Lady Cop
with me. Yeah. And that song's got all sorts of problems. But a lot of songs have a lot
of
problems.
Well, now he's big. Lil Wayne's big in the skate world.
That's
well, he
odd.
Started to skate. He put out that rock album, too, in the mid-2000s, 2010, something like that. He like put out just a straight rock album. He's like, I skate and I play rock music. Get used to it. And everyone was like, we don't like it. And he's like, cool, I'll go back to rapping.
So Blink 182 becomes eligible this year for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes.
When it comes to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, they're not very clear about the criteria of why someone goes in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's just kind of nebulous. So I've done my homework to try and come up with a list of criteria that we can use and hopefully accurately determine if someone will get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to put fucking Blink 182 to the test of the categories.
Oh, is that going to have a theme song too?
Nope. Okay. We'll be right back.
Bye.
Welcome back, everybody. I hope you had a nice break. I hope maybe our talk of skating made you think, I should try that if you've never tried it before.
Yeah, maybe you got out there, you put it on pause, you got out there on a skateboard, and you gave it a whirl. Flip. You kicked, pushed, coast.
Mm-hmm.
That's a Lupe fiasco.
There's some skate beef with that song.
Really?
What is that song? I don't
know. People
it's
think
Kick Push by Lupe Fiasco, Chicago rapper.
People think, the skate community, I guess, thinks of Lupe as being a phony who's just trying to make a buck off of the skate culture. But he was early on that.
That was like 2001, 2003.
It was right when I moved to LA.
2005?
Right before I moved to LA. Yes, maybe 2005.
Do you think that's racially motivated?
No, because it's most
accurate?
Of the like black skaters who who kind of are involved in hip hop is also. I remember there used to be this beef with this guy named Terry Kennedy, who didn't like Lupe Fiasco because he's just trying to get in commercials or something like that.
Lupe Fiasco is a bit of a lifestyle rapper. I think that but he wasn't selling a like rap lifestyle. He was selling the kind of like hip skateboard lifestyle.
The backpack rap.
Yeah, the backpack rap.
I think it's an important gateway.
It's
a gateway drug.
I'm not mad about Lupe. I'm not mad about that album. Subsequent ones, I did not like as much.
Yeah, you just want authenticity, I think, when it comes to hip hop. And maybe he didn't skate, and I think maybe that's a problem.
He didn't skate?
Well, I don't know. I don't know anything about him, but I think...
Who will know less about him? Our listeners.
Yep. let's go through these categories.
If you knew who Lupe Fiasco was before we talked about it today, please tweet at us. I would love to know.
Just tweet at Kristen.
Forwarded to me. Thank you.
I don't need to hear about this. All right. So let's go through these categories with Blink, see how they measure.
Okay.
So the first category, not a great one for Blink, which is critical acclaim.
Oh.
And
after you were like, well, he taught me the bass part when I was in sixth grade because it was really easy to learn. It's
I think, you know, the relationship between critics and Blink has been one that has not been super kind, but it has evolved in Blink's favor over time.
I think so. I think nowadays... people would look back and go, oh, that's important that they did all that.
You can certainly recognize the influence. At the time, they weren't taken very seriously.
And they didn't take themselves seriously.
Yeah, I think that they kind of got, because they came about in the kind of like Jackass era, you know, especially like they became really popular in that when young male skate culture kind of took over the mainstream for a while, and people didn't necessarily like take it seriously they didn't take their music seriously. They were like, this is for kids who just want to have fun and like hurt themselves.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's weird. You almost are forced to retroactively reconsider it. Which may be an oxymoron or maybe a redundancy, but the fact that every band after them in that genre, how many of them have been super popular? You know, it's like Blink 182 could have existed exactly how they existed, and you don't have to take them seriously, but it just so happens they influence so many people to pick up a guitar and start a band.
I mean, yeah, there's then Blink 182. In the wake of Blink 182, you get Fall Out Boy.
You get Panic at the Disco.
Panic at the Disco, My Chemical Romance, Taking Back Sunday.
What all of Warped Tour is.
Yeah. Well, they were such a Warped Tour band. When you were talking about that like Fat Records compilation, that was like, for me, going to Warped Tour in the 90s was very like... That was when I first saw Blink, and that was when I first, like, just on compilation CDs was kind of the thing. But I was never huge into Blink. I was more into ska, and then I was more, or I was more into like hardcore punk and less into pop punk mm-hmm. than that. I think it also just was like generational for me. It's like, I missed Pokemon.
Damn.
I missed Pokemon by a few years, and I missed truly liking Blink 182 by a few years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The next category is classic albums. Now, the Rolling Stone set is not going to put Blink 182 albums on a list of the greatest albums of all time.
That is for sure.
Rolling Stone...
So in a way, this almost lets you still be an outsider. You were like, you know, I didn't want to get with anything that was too popular.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like you're an outsider for the critics.
Yeah.
You know?
If they do have a classic album, you know, if a list was made of the greatest albums of all time, and it was made in maybe 20 years, I think Enema of the State could wind up there.
No question. People are going to realize, because right now there's already beginning to be a like pop punk in the style of Blink-182 resurgence, bands sounding like them again. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a band that comes out that sounds like them from 1999 that wins awards, and then they're going to go, oh, we were just copying what Blink-182 did in 1999. And then people will go back and go, oh, that album was really important. But it's going to take 10 more years.
Yeah, it's going to take some time. You can tell it's going to be important and like a landmark. But like there's just too many old people to say no to that idea at this point.
And also the big Blink fans aren't old enough to make those fancy decisions.
Right, yeah. I think that's very true.
Yeah.
What they can do is they can show up to the Rock Hall and then they can type Blink 182 into a kiosk.
Now, question. Do you think that there's two separate votes going for like Blink 182 and then Blink dash 182?
I think it's all going in the same place.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, and what about British people who type in Blink 182?
Hmm. I don't know if there's a difference.
I know. British people call them Blink 182.
That's right. I have heard that.
It's a really like fun thing about the British people. I don't know if you know this. I've lived abroad. Around.
Whit,
I have
Whit, come with
been
me.
Exposed
we can leave now.
To different cultures.
I'm calling
and
an
so,
Uber.
Like, I am a bit of a cultural liaison
you cool with an Uber
when
pool
it comes
Whit?
To
yeah,
how
okay,
things
great.
Are.
Okay,
you
it's
know?
Coming. I've told them to bring a gun. well, then let's talk about kind of iconic or recognizable songs. And I think Blink does quite well in this category.
Well, and this was the thing that this came up on an earlier episode when we were talking about the idea that, what was it? Smoke on the Water is the riff that people would play in a guitar store. And it used to be banned from a guitar store. And they said it at the Rock Hall induction like a few years ago. Was mm-hmm. it when Deep Purple got inducted?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
During Deep Purple's induction, they said that. And it was like, we were all like, is that still true? And it's probably not. People are not playing Smoke on the Water or young people aren't picking up a guitar and playing that for the first time. And we're like, what is the riff that people are playing? And it might be from Damn It.
Damn It.
I mean, Smoke on the Water, I learned that right when I learned how to play guitar.
It's one of those, like, anyone can do it. It fucking sounds cool.
And that and Cream. And Iron Man.
Right. That's the trifecta of that era.
Don't tell little Steven.
Right.
The singles category.
Sunshine of Your Love.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Blink 182 for sure is, that's I think why they're so important to so many young people. And even today, you go to their concert, those dudes are in their 40s, and everybody, most of the people at their shows are 15. Still.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because appealing. They had this accessible quality to their music and kids hear it and they go, oh, I can figure out how to play that. Or, you know, Blink 182 cover bands are rampant. It's crazy.
What are some fun Blink 182 cover band names?
Ooh.
Have you heard of any?
No, but they spawned a band called Man Overboard, which is like a good.
Which is one of their songs.
Yeah, which is a song that they did. There's a lot. I mean, I don't know. I can't believe there's no band called Windy Clear, which is my favorite Blink 182 song.
Mm-hmm.
But they have so many riffs though that you could play.
Right, because like the more complicated is that little opening riff to What's My Age Again.
Which on the live album, their live tour album from like the late 90s, Tom, before he plays it, he goes, "This one's hard to play, so give me a second." because I think that song, that is kind of hard to play, that riff.
And then All the Small Things is like a, it's like a pretty easy riff. And then, yeah, if we're talking about like the songs that everybody knows from Blink 182, it's Damn It. And it's happened once again. I'll turn to a friend, someone that understands, sees through the master plan. But everybody's gone, and I've been here for too long to face this on my own. Well, I guess this is growing up.
What's My Age Again?
It's What's My Age Again. And that's about the time she walked away from me. Nobody likes you when you're 23. And I still more abuse my TV shows. What the hell is ADD? My friends say I should act my age. What's my age again? What's my age again? All the Small Things.
Yeah.
All the small things. True care. Truth brings. I'll take one lift. Your ride. Best trip.
Adam's Song.
Yeah, Adam's Song, that's the sad one.
Yeah, it's the one about the suicide.
They did
a
piece on NPR about that song recently and how many people's lives it changed.
Really?
Suicidal
teens.
You know, teens. Yeah. That song is really important to a lot of them because that was written about their friend who committed suicide. And so many people have the lyrics to that song tattooed on him, and they were interviewing maybe Mark about it.
I remember the idea of that song. I can't tell you how it goes off the top of my head.
Apple juice in the hall. Please tell mom this is not her fault.
Yeah.
Apple juice in the hall. Please tell mom this is not her fault.
This is what is special about them. Especially
is this the only band that's repping hard for apple juice.
Exactly.
Yeah, dude.
Okay. Spilled the app. Do you remember when I spilled the cup of apple juice in the hall? Please tell mom this is not her fault. That most people would go, well, that's a bad lyric. But there is something with their simplicity that is such a stupid, nothing memory.
Uh-huh.
And then they follow it with, please tell mom this is not her fault. And then, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
They
like,
baited, and then they done switched.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's
like,
great. It's
great.
It's like following the moment in The Jerk where he thinks the cans are, there's something wrong with the cans, and then with the beautiful scene of them walking down the beach playing that song.
Yeah, it's the dichotomy of man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Truly.
And I doubt they had any awareness. I think they were just
they're
like
just being real, you know,
young.
They're just doing their thing. And then I would say, like, I Miss You, which we had already kind of referenced.
That's the game changer song for them.
Really? How so?
Because it's fully emo.
Yeah.
They were this gateway.
They were pop punk, and then they did the bridge to emo.
They had Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, which is like, okay, this is a different turn, but they're still upbeat, and it's still like, I'm young, and I make mistakes, and blah, 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 blah. But then they have a couple songs about being lonely and being misunderstood, but they're still really upbeat. Then they get self-titled album, Miss You, comes out.
Was that was after Take Off Your Pants?
Yeah.
So there were some hits on Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, which, again, how do you not take them seriously?
like the, right,
the
rock show.
Rock show. First date.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go. Don't wait. This night's almost over. Honest. Let's make this night last forever.
I remember those
and
songs.
Apparently those songs were written because the label was like, y'all don't have any hits on this song. We need singles. And they wrote
hastily,
First Date and Rock Show like in a couple days.
Right. And Can you tell? Maybe.
But First Date is to this day
the very first date.
That's the best, best music video of all time, in my opinion.
What's in the music video?
It's in the 70s, and they were going to a water park.
Okay,
it's just the three of them, and they're just like these dickheads going to the water park.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hilarious.
Their videos were always very funny.
Yeah,
and fun running around naked.
Mm-hmm. Just running around. They came into just kind of like young male dumbass culture was just like taken over at that time.
And they were leading the charge.
Yeah. And I think I was probably low key. I wasn't as high key as I am now about it, but I think I was probably low key resenting that shit. I was like, fuck you. You can't just run around and be a dipshit all the time and have everyone love you for it. Cause you know who can't do that? Women.
Damn.
Like, and I was like so mad about it probably, but didn't understand. I probably hadn't processed that.
There's not a lot of female pop punk.
No
bands. Mm-mm. There's female punk bands.
Yes.
Paramore, right? That's the closest thing I could think of.
Yeah, probably the closest, but they're more emo.
Right, yeah.
I guess they were pop punk, though.
They're close, and I think they're definitely inspired by Blink-182.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and it's not like they're all women. They just have a woman.
A woman, a front woman.
Does she play guitar?
Sometimes would be my guess, but yeah. I think mostly
not. She plays piano.
Okay.
Yeah.
And also she's like incredible and destined to be something.
They've stuck around for a while, Paramore. Yeah.
And they keep reinventing themselves.
They do a good job of reinventing themselves.
Keeping it fresh.
But mm-hmm. That's a band that I'm like only very peripherally aware of. Mm-hmm.
They're great.
And you hear their songs and you're like, oh yeah, I know that.
Well, that one song, and I'm gonna hit to rock bottom.
Yeah,
that song
is
so good. Hard Times, that song is just...
Oh yeah, that song's great.
That's a straight up bop.
Ain't It Fun, also like from song. That same...
Mm-hmm.
It's only from a few years ago.
Rose Colored Boy.
But I mean, there are some, but I think that, I think too, also growing up in Warped Tour culture and like being like a ska kid and that kind of stuff, it was frustrating just how male it was. And kind of like, even to be like peripheral, like a sideline, like your job as a girl in like music culture from that time and now still was to like watch your boyfriend's band, watch your boyfriend skate. Like that's like your whole job was to like
be an active participant, but
yeah, it's like look cute and then congratulate, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was like there was just no representation necessarily like on stage. It was there were a lot of like, you know, seen kids out there just, you know.
Well, I think in a way it's probably good because now there's not a checkered past of a bunch of really cool, talented women with making really bad decisions as musicians. I think all of those talented women who maybe wore the giant puffy shoes and giant pants and tiny shirt and watch their boyfriends play were like, I want to play music, but not that.
Yeah.
And so they started some cool bands.
Yeah.
Like, or they maybe like did some art.
They didn't math
rock or like metalcore or whatever it is. I know in my scene, like most of the female led bands were something that you couldn't really make fun of nowadays.
Yeah.
It would be some like cool power violence band or some cool like hardcore band.
Right, but nothing that could be, I don't know, commercially viable.
Right, you're right.
Yeah, that's the
successful. You know, nothing they could retire on, but you can't make fun of them.
But they hold up.
You've never fucking heard of them. Cool.
They
great.
Hold up.
Good for
but
them.
Guess what? They are punk, and that's all that matters.
So a good amount of songs that I would say most people recognize from Damn It, What's My Age Again, Adam's Song, All the Small Things, Rock Show, First Date, I Miss You. And then we had talked about this a little bit before, the song Bored to Death was a song that came out on their album California, which is a post-Tom
DeLonge.
And DeLonge. He went and made what? Angels in Airwaves?
Well, he kind of did that before.
He did Boxcar Racer.
Oh, yeah, I remember
and
that.
And after Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, which was like more dark, kind of more emo. And then they did the self-titled album. Boxcar Racer was very annoying. it was stupid that he did that.
Angels and Airwaves, I recall thinking, was pretty decent.
I remember them having a hit.
Like Angels and Airwaves. They had a few hits.
Yeah.
Angels and Airwaves, fine. They're not for me, but they sound nothing like Blink-182.
And that's what you found annoying about Boxcar Racer.
Boxcar Racer sounded like Blink-182 without Mark Hoppus.
And didn't he? Did he do it with Travis?
Yeah.
And that was a real point of contention.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I imagine, yeah. I don't know the story, but...
I was reading a little bit up on it, and that was like, okay, if you're going to do a side project, and then you invite the other guy in the band and not me...
Then there's
like,
three people in the band.
And it's a three-person band.
Yeah. I'm going to take it personally, which is fully understandable.
It is a situation of, oh, if we have Mark, nobody's going to take us seriously because they'll just think of us as this joke band like Blink-182. And Mark's, I think, point has always been, I don't care what people really have to say about us. I think it's important that we just continue to make music together and are friends.
Yeah.
And I think Tom probably cares a little bit more about
about
being taken seriously as a musician.
And so they have gone back and forth from, like, we're never going to play. I mean, after Travis got in that plane crash, I think that obviously brought them back together, and then they started making music again, and then it's just been really back and forth.
He's
literally
okay, though, right now?
He is, but it was
it's bad. There's a great documentary about it. I can't remember the name of it, but it's about
it's DJ
AM.
The Day the Music Died.
Yeah, it was Travis Barker, Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, all on a plane together.
No, DJ AM died in that plane crash.
No,
right?
They were the only two that survived.
But
they
then DJ AM is now dead, isn't he?
Yes, DJ AM really tragically died like a couple years later. But the documentary is so good. It's about DJ AM and how he sort of invented the like famous DJ. He was like the first one, you know, in a way. And then it goes into the plane crash, and it's crazy.
Wow.
That's why I honestly, the only reason I know who DJ AM is because he almost died and then he did die. Those are the things I know about DJ AM.
Same for me. Yeah. But it's worth watching this. There's also stuff about Paris Hilton and that whole scene, you know.
Wild.
Who was the drummer married to?
Shanna Mochler.
They had like a reality show on MTV.
They did have a reality show, yeah.
What was it called?
Travis and Shanna.
Really?
Waking up with the drummer.
Well, Travis, my buddy Clay, his favorite thing about Blink-182 is that Travis put out a solo record called Give the Drummer Some.
Oh, that's a good name.
That's cute.
That's cute. That's cute.
Do you want to hear this song, Bored to Death?
Sure.
Sure.
This is from their most recent album.
This is from their most recent album. This is the one that knocked out Drake.
Well,
this song?
Did the album knock out Drake? I wouldn't say the song. I would say didn't. But
was this the song from it?
This was the lead. Yeah, the lead song.
I've never heard this song in my whole life.
It sounds like classic Blink.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I don't hate this. I would not choose it.
Oh, here comes.
It just really reminds me of a time in my life. This is a very Taking Back Sunday, very, like...
I think that Blink was influenced... you can really hear the influence of the bands that were influenced by Blink in Blink's records.
The Ouroboros of them influencing each other.
You can hear the Taking Back Sunday in their...
Coming back up to...
And they go, these guys...
They figured it out.
These guys... liked us, and now they're making this cool shit. Let's kind of sound like
Because the guy who replaced Tom DeLonge is Matt Skiba
from Alkaline Trio, a band that I loved. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I still really, I'm sure I like them. I just don't often listen to Alkaline Trio.
And here's what's cool about seeing them now is Tom would sing their old songs, and he would just fuck it up. Like, he's a notoriously bad live musician.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got Matt Skiba, who I think is... I don't know if this sounds like... I'm not trying to sound like a dick, but Alkaline was always that band on the border.
They were always on the bubble.
They
never
exploded,
ever
but they always had this
big
core group of fans. So who knows if he's ever getting like a real paycheck. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, so, I don't know what anyone would know of Alkaline Trio. Like, if you don't know the name, band Alkaline Trio, like, you don't know any of their songs. Maybe you know Fuck You, Aurora. I don't know, like, what you would know.
I mean,
I'm from Chicago, so I, like, that is more, big. Like, I know who they are because of where I grew up and the kind of music that I grew up listening to, but they are not a big band.
No.
They're an important
band. I know a lot of people with tattoos of
And
their...
they could tour for the rest of their life, and people would show up, but they probably would never be rich or whatever. Yeah. So when you're watching Blink now and you're watching them play these new songs, also Matt Skiba is an incredible guitar player and he can sing like really good. So you watch them and you see him be so excited to play in front of so many people finally.
I'm glad That's really for him. Sweet. My sister sweet went and saw them. My sister is 14 years younger than me and she got into Blink 182 when she was in college. She was like, Kristen, you have all of these great old CDs. And I was like, oh, yeah, get into it, girl.
Oh, sure, little
she's
sister.
Like, she's like, I'm going to see Blink 182, and I'm really excited.
Let
I was
me
like,
tell
I
you about
saw
Mark
them
Hopper.
In 1997.
You better buckle up.
Well, I guess this is growing up.
That's the only tattoo.
What's my age again?
I always think about getting like a real tattoo. I get them as a joke, but and that's the only thing I can ever think of getting.
Well, I guess this is growing up.
Yeah.
That's funny. The next category is commercial success, which is like, yep, that's like the whole thing.
Yeah.
They sold fucking more than 50 million records worldwide. Like they, they're success.
And kids are still getting into them. Mm-hmm. You brought that up and it's true. It's just like there is a time in your life that is the time for Blink 182.
And Blink really killed it with merch. So you're seeing people maybe ironically wearing Blink 182
Wait,
shirts.
Wait, really? I'm
maybe.
Trying to think of what the Blink one, what's the merch look like? Well, I mean, I didn't recognize your hat. He's wearing a hat with like a little skankin' bunny on it.
Their most sought after merch for people my age is just the album artwork for Enema of the State and Take Off Your Pants and Jacket.
So Janine Linda Muller, the porn star.
I know the porn star with the
nurse outfit.
With the nurse outfit. That's Enema of the State. What's
and
on
take
the
Take Off Your Pants
front
and Jacket is a primary colors of a plane, a pair of pants, and a jacket. And like a round.
Much like their lyrics, where did they get the idea for that?
They're subtle.
What does that mean?
They're subtle boys.
And then I have, and they're cool, and they reissue their old merch. And I have an old Blink 182 hat from their like first, you know,
it'll
their first
be in
logo
the
of a rabbit
from this thing. We're gonna remember to take a picture together,
And then we'll maybe
you'll
take
be
a picture
able
of just
zoom
the hat
in
too.
On the hat.
And that ties into the next category, longevity, which is the fact that they're because they are able to connect with teenagers still.
Yeah.
They've been able to have a long career. You know, they started like they became eligible this year, so they were kind of starting out in the mid 90s and they're still going today, and that is another like I think huge point in their favor.
Right. It's like I was thinking about this recently. As long as there's teenagers, people will like Blink 182. As long as there is college art kids, people will like the Talking Heads. But a type of person who's dying is like a biggity hard rockin' Sunset Strip dickhead. People might not like hair metal in the future. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, no one new is liking hair metal.
Yeah, there's not new. It's not gaining new fans.
Right.
It's just riding out the storm.
Yeah, it's just the people who liked it are still around. You know, they're just older. You know, and they're going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and it's the skaters versus the Sunset
it's jocks
Strip
versus goths in a different
light.
And this is one other thing I'll say about longevity and Blink. Another nice thing about Mark Hoppus is he is completely unaware of how his music has affected people in the generations below him. He doesn't understand that he's cool.
Really?
You know, I was saying to him one time that dude, your colorway for your bass guitar, he has this seafoam green bass that he's known for, is the most everybody wants. Everybody in the bands that I go see and I play with, everybody wants a Fender Strat or a Fender Precision bass that is that seafoam green color, and that's because of you. When we were kids, we saw you play that. And he was like, what? Who? And I was saying these cool bands that are like relevant and cool today, and he's like, really? They know about, they like gave a fuck about what I was doing? I always thought of Blink-182 as like outcasts, like dorks, nobody cool would ever like Blink-182. And it's funny, I think that's why he's remained having such a cool attitude, is because he's like feels lucky to be thought
he
of.
He hasn't let it go to his head.
Right.
He doesn't even seem to really have a grasp on
no.
The impact.
No, not at all. And Travis is like just some weirdo prodigy who's just like, bang, bang, bang. He's just like, I need to play a drum.
Right, me play drum now.
Give drummer some.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That, I feel like I saw a few episodes of his reality show, or at least I can think of a few minutes of his reality show. And it was mm-hmm. just like one of those ones where it's just
well I think he was supposed to be like very lighthearted, and then he got into a plane crash and it became like very super serious.
Oof. I don't even remember that. I remember just like being like, it was like him and his like porn star looking wife, and then like that their kids, and there was just nothing. It wasn't about anything. It was just
meet
these
the Barkers is what it was called.
These people just live in a big house and that's that. Mm-hmm. Like what I think maybe I just don't understand that style of reality television, because I also didn't get into like
and that
the
was
Osbournes
back in the day, the
yeah.
Osbournes and yeah. all that stuff.
The next category, and it's something we've already talked about quite a bit, is innovation and influence. I wouldn't say that they were necessarily innovative, but the influence is, I mean, we've been talking about it the whole time. It's crazy, and it's also not something that has gone unnoticed. In 2011, the New York Times said no punk band of the 1990s has been more influential than Blink-182. Mm.
They're just cool. So, I mean, I can't think of another band to even
you
put
could.
In the category. Like, this is what I mean. Like, I thought of this earlier. Like, Fall Out Boy mm-hmm. is not, like, the bands that came after them, or the bands that they influenced or whatever, like Fall Out Boy or like Panic at the Disco, even though they're still releasing music, I guess.
Oh, Panic at the Disco is still very popular, and there's a song they have right now called like How High that is...
High Hopes.
High Hopes, that's it.
And he duets with
Taylor
Swift. He did
a duet
Swift.
With Taylor Swift. My friend is his hair and makeup artist.
Huge. That song still gets played constantly. I mean, it still gets played. That's a new song, High Hopes, and it gets played constantly. It's a huge song.
And Fall Out Boy, now they have shifted into being in the same way with, it's like pop, just full pop with samples and all that kind of stuff now.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is like, I feel like, and maybe I'm wrong, Blink-182 is much more popular than either of those bands in the like fame scale of things.
Well, they've remained the most consistently pop punk out mm-hmm. of all, and remained very popular.
And they've achieved like iconic status.
Right.
Yeah, whereas I guess I don't think of Fall Out Boy that way.
No, Fall Out Boy doesn't quite span the generations.
Mm-mm.
Panic at the Disco, again, might because of, like I said, they're somehow still going. But yeah, I think Blink is able to, their impact, it just spans generations. As Witt said, as long as there's teenagers,
Blink 182 shall survive.
That's a good soundbite. If we released soundbites, I think that would be
I think
the pull quote from this episode.
There are still bands that sound like Blink and are trying to sound like Blink. That's not true for like Nirvana. You know, I think Nirvana's a better band, but I don't think weirdly they're as I think they influenced a lot of people to pick up guitars and stuff, but I don't think any music still sounds like that. But
well,
I think a lot.
I think what happened with Nirvana, I was thinking about this the other day, is a lot of bad people were influenced by Nirvana, so and Pearl Jam. So you get like Creed and Seether and all
Bush
these
and,
all
yeah.
these kind of.
Now, Bush, are you really going
to... You come
really?
Coming for Bush?
Are you going to come for Bush? Come for Nickelback. Don't come for Bush.
Oh, Nickelback is another
yeah.
one.
Yeah, sorry. But yeah, Bush is very derivative.
Bush is
but
derivative,
they're not that
but it's just
right.
like
era.
They didn't...
So
they're not Puddle of Mud.
Those bands are bad. They didn't know that Nirvana was influenced by like Mudhoney
like
or...
Wipers and like...
Yeah, and the yeah. Wipers. They just think they're like... We just want to sound like Nirvana, but we're going to take out all the good stuff.
Yeah.
And just kind of sing like
just
Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, scream.
Yeah, the thing that I think so much was watching that Radiohead package and realizing how influenced Radiohead was by Nirvana. It was like such a, you forget because Radiohead is just
their
taken
own thing.
Such a
yeah.
crazy turn, and they are who they are now. But mm-hmm.
mm. The last category is, does my mom know who they are? And I texted her and she said, yep.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she might not be able to name
my
a song,
still
but
has
she
has not gotten back to
but,
me.
But you know, that's in many ways the most important category, because you can't really get into Rock and Roll Hall of Fame if you're not famous and everybody knows you. And I think everybody knows Blink 182, including dear old mother.
Yeah, I think so.
I would assume your mom knows who Blink 182 is because of your life.
The only kids who might not are musical. I've found that musical theater kids typically like grow up knowing the least about the stuff.
Oh, I was also a musical theater kid, but I was kind of a punk kid.
Yeah,
so.
You were an alt.
I was on all the fringes of cool.
Oh, you know who'd be great on your podcast? I listened to Christina Hendricks on WTF, and she has a vast knowledge of goth music.
Ooh.
And indie rock music of the early 90s.
Hey,
so
reach
you
out.
Should get her.
Yeah, I'll reach out to Christina.
Okay.
I'll see. I haven't texted her in a while, so she might be kind of mad.
Well, yeah.
Because I ghosted her, but... Yeah, we'll see how she feels. All right, it's time for our verdict. Should Blink-182 be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? Will they get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? And if so, when? And we'll start with Kristen.
I can't believe it, but yeah, I think Blink-182 should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I think that they will get into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, definitely. But I don't think it's going to be like an FYE the way that other more prestige bands are. FYE meaning first year eligible. I don't think that...
You don't think they're getting in this year?
Yeah, although they honestly might, unless my dreams come true of an all-female class. But I think that it could happen... Do they play the game at all? Did we talk about this
no.
at all? Did they don't show up? They don't play the game or anything?
No.
And I'm trying to think of, like, based on kind of what's going on, I don't know that we're almost ready for punk to enter, like
pop punk,
like,
yeah.
to enter.
Mm-hmm. Did the Green Day?
Green Day
got in immediately, yeah. They
yeah.
got in
Yeah, but
4
they
years ago.
Also played the game. And I was actually going to bring that up because I think Green Day has like a specific style of singing. And I think that like Blink-182 owes a lot to Green Day. I feel like that's a real...
Really? I've always thought of him as just doing a British accent. Like
oh,
a
definitely.
Joe Strummer voice.
But I just mean like with the kind of like stripped down punk like kind of...
Oh yeah,
that's
three
like
piece.
Just like
really
three
what
piece.
Paved the way for all of them is The Offspring.
Interesting.
Offspring before Green Day.
Yeah, The Offspring was the first independent... The highest selling independent album of all time with Smash.
I mean, I remember that album. It was very
and, because of that, that's when all of these little pop punk bands
they
started
like,
to get signed
labels
and scooped
started
up.
To sniff around being like, what you got?
Oh, interesting.
There's a documentary on just like a YouTube documentary called like Some Numbers and then the Pop Punk Takeover or something
oh,
like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. But I'm sorry. When do I think that
yeah.
they'll get in? I just don't think we're ready for it, but I guess I could see it. In the next, I could see it 5 years from now,
okay.
5 to 10. I don't think it's going to be immediate, even though they're doing well in the poll or whatever.
Right. Okay. Whit, what do you think?
I think that they definitely should.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they will, but I'd say even longer. I think 10. I think that it would take somebody who's my age to make something that really is for... really beloved by pop punk fans and critics, like art critics, finding that line and then, you know, making people aware of how important Blink-182 is. And I don't think anything like that is going to happen for at least 10
Something
years.
Something that dads are going to hear on the radio and go, huh.
Or it's just going to have to be our generation becomes dads.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
our generation
happening.
Gets a fancy job at Rolling Stone and
yeah.
writes some beautiful article.
About how, you know, Adam's song saved them.
Then again, they already did that on NPR, and that was a really popular piece. My dad heard it and texted me the thing.
Wow.
So they're already doing that, and that was in 2018 or 2019, so maybe it'll be sooner. Uh-huh. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I think they should, and I think they will. I think it's going to take 15 years. That feels right to me. If it took The Cure 15 years,
yeah,
thinking
of
right.
it that
yeah.
way
if
too.
If I'm kind of thinking of, I'm even, but I will get it will get easier and it will take less time, I think, for bands to get in because of the, it's a little bit diminishing returns.
We've cleaned out the 60s, baby.
But what's happening is like, okay, if they were to get in this year, they would be leapfrogging so much alternative music that came before them. I mean, they'd be leapfrogging
the Smashing Pumpkins
and Soundgarden and Alice in Chains. And then they'd also be leapfrogging, like, The Replacements and Black Flag.
The Pixies.
And the Pixies. And they're Depeche Depeche Mode and the Smiths and Joy Division. So it's like there's this backlog where to put Blink ahead of them would be kind of strange. I just think Blink, no one's going to be advocating for Blink to get in before all those groups.
Definitely. And do any of those, like, does The Cure play the game with?
No.
No, The Cure.
They kind of reluctantly showed up, and then they were
they
not.
They had such a good time.
They had a great time, but they almost weren't going to play at the ceremony. They weren't going to play music. They were just going to, they were maybe not going to show up.
Hmm.
But they kind of, they were convinced and they showed up and they had a great time and they played a bunch of songs and they sounded incredible.
Could you imagine, you are the Rock Hall and you're like, God, we have to beg these people to come and accept this honor.
We have to tell them we'll accept Reeves Gabrels, their guitarist who joined in 2012 just to appease Robert Smith. Yeah, it's and I'm worried that that's going to happen more and more.
It
did the old
like it
members almost, come? Sorry.
Oh,
every person who was
alive.
Pretty much, yeah.
But The other thing is, think about this last year too, and how just almost everybody that showed up except for the Zombies and Def Leppard and Stevie Nicks. So it was like what? Radiohead, The Cure,
Roxy,
Janet Jackson, though. Mm-hmm. Definitely those three. And of those had to be like really kind of asked.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like it was a problem. You wonder what's going to happen to these ceremonies when it's like the Smiths are inducted and it's like, well,
and we don't want to give Morrissey a microphone ever again.
Yeah. you wonder about if these bands will care or will show.
Is it three a year? Is that
they did seven
this
year.
Seven this year.
And it's at least five.
And
a
it's
year.
Different ceremonies. It's not all one.
It's one a year.
It's one ceremony all together.
Okay. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So like the class of 2019.
So well, like we saw a concert that had Def Leppard and The Cure on it.
Oof.
It was crazy.
It was fun.
Oh, okay, good.
It's like listening to the radio.
But now they're
like Jack FM.
Yeah.
But they're getting though, because they're getting into these gothy 80s bands and then into mm-hmm. these 90s bands who are influenced by these 80s bands.
Yeah.
Those bands didn't want to be like accepted
exactly.
in this way.
Yeah.
So they're thinking they're
the
still thinking it's lame.
Trouble.
Yep.
That's the issue. Yeah.
And that's most good music no matter mm-hmm. how successful they get.
We always say this, that the least rock and roll thing you can do is want to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It is
right.
truly that.
Mm-hmm. So, all right, let's say they get in, though. Let's say Blink-182 gets in. Mm-hmm. It's pretty obvious which band members get in, the three.
Yeah.
I don't think
yeah.
you put in that original drummer. I don't think he was really a significant
Scott.
Part of
you
their
don't give
story.
That drummer some.
No, I don't think you give that drummer. You just do Travis, Tom, and
well,
Mark.
But Scott was there. He was there for Damn It, but you're right.
I don't know. They could do it, but like they didn't. I don't know. Who inducts them? Who gives the speech
Ooh.
To induct them?
It would be, are the Foo Fighters in?
They're not.
They will be, though.
But Dave Grohl is in.
Dave Grohl is in with Nirvana.
I think it would be Dave Grohl.
Is he?
Because
it have to be someone
he
who's
plays
in
a big part in their trajectory.
Oh, no
really?
Shit.
He took them with the Foo Fighters to Australia
mm-hmm.
when, I think the story is, they were opening for the Foo Fighters. Dave Grohl got a kick out of them because they have a lot, you know, clearly musically a lot of the same influences and shit. And I think they either signed the deal for their like major record deal while mm-hmm. they're
opening for the Foo Fighters.
Opening, and Dave Grohl was just like, you guys are going to be the biggest band. It's going to change.
That is such a slam dunk.
So it would be so beautiful.
Dave Grohl is also a major inductor.
He yeah. is
he
on the nominating committee.
A lot of people. He's on the NomCom.
He's inducted Queen.
The Foo Fighters
oh, wow.
are going to get in. And that's also like a very
Rush.
Brian May style thing.
Yeah, because usually it's, I mean, like there's
Brian
three
May
categories.
Def Leppard, and he told all these
That's
stories
cool.
about them going on tour together.
And Def Leppard opening for Queen. I think Brendan Urie from Panic at the Disco is, I mean, it's hard for me to gauge how popular and famous he is. I think he is. But yeah, the categories are like it could be someone who influenced them, a peer, or someone who was influenced by
like
Blink.
Harry Styles inducted
Stevie Nicks.
Whoa. Is it
yeah.
cool?
It was all right.
It was okay.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe I'll be famous at that point.
Then you can do it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I would sob. I would, no question would I.
Chris Rock inducted Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Whoa.
Isn't that wild? And David Letterman inducted
Pearl Jam.
Oh, that's a big deal. David Letterman has a big soft spot for Pearl Jam and Foo Fighters, right?
Yeah, he does. Maybe he'll induct the Foo Fighters.
He might induct the Foo Fighters, yeah.
All right, so they get to play at the ceremony 3 or 4 songs.
Well, the Blink songs are so short, maybe they get to play 5.
Yeah,
that's true. They're 2 minutes long.
I would say they play...
Or they put like a jam in it or something. Like, how do you...
I mean, Green Day only played 3 songs.
Did they?
Yeah, and those songs are short. So I'd say they play Damn It. Mm-hmm. They play All the Small Things, and then maybe in the middle of that, they play I Miss You. And then if they get another one...
What's My Age Again?
They do What's My Age Again.
Yeah, I think they would have the wherewithal to know not to play a new... Because Mark Hoppus posted the list of whatever he's playing at this, like, Back to the Beach throwback emo pop punk festival Blink headlined, and it was all...
Classics.
It was all the
classics. He played the hits. He gave the people what they want. Give the people some.
And then if they do, it's like, and then the other choice is Adam's song. And I feel like those are the songs you play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think you do Rock Show or First Date because I don't think they really like those songs.
There's some song he was saying, oh, we don't play that because it's hard to play. It's not fun because everybody's just singing and trying really hard to play the riffs. Or, I can't remember what the song
was. That's so funny. If they get inducted, will you go to the ceremony with us?
Yes, I would go. Dude, I would, no question would I go.
Yeah. Actually, if they got inducted, he has a phone number, you know?
You have the
maybe
hookup.
He's the help.
I would probably be,
maybe
probably
he gets
is saving
the table.
That for some other people.
That'd be so funny if you were
we
Mark's
plus one.
We'll
put Mark Hoppus's phone number in the show notes, so be sure to check that out.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Whit, thank you so much for being part of this podcast and coming on and talking about your favorite band.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Where can we find you online? Anything you want to plug, etc.?
Just Instagram and Twitter, and I do a show...
At the Satellite.
At the Satellite every third Sunday. And if you like pop punk or emo or stuff like that, I do a lot of bits involving that genre, like musical bits and stuff.
And do you
like
still
that.
Have musicians on that show sometimes?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. This, you know, this Sunday it is.
Well, this
it
Sunday
doesn't matter.
Is going to be in the past. This is coming out next week.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Who knows who will be in the next one, but
cool.
Come see it.
And what's your handle?
Whitmer Thomas.
On everything?
Yeah.
Tight. Great. Well, you can find us at Rock Hall Pod on Twitter, rockhallpod@gmail.com. Subscribe to us on iTunes, rate and review us, 5 stars only. If you're leaving a review because of this episode, in the body of the review...
Try to mention the band Alkaline Trio.
Yeah, throw in something about the Alkaline Trio. We want to thank Pantheon Podcast for hosting us, Mike Lloyd for the logo, Yusu Kim for the music, Future Rock Legends for all the data that helps us... talk about all this dumb shit. We want to thank Joey Devine for the equipment. We want to thank Chad Briggs and James Patterson, my roommates, for letting me record as they're trying to live their lives around us. I felt bad. James tried to leave, and then he realized that opening the door would be too loud, so then he went out the back. What a good roommate. That's it for us. My name is Joe Quazala.
I'm Kristen Studdard.
And who cares
about the Rock Hall?
Hi, everyone. We're your beer drinking babes. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Nagy. And we're from Rock Candy Podcast.
Every week, we bring you a story from the world of music while drinking thematic beers.
Did you ever wonder how much Charles Manson inspired the music you love today?
Did you know that Joy Division and New Order are virtually the same band?
Are you aware of how weird Kesha really is? Like, how she had sex with a ghost?
Do you also not understand what Post Malone is? Because we don't.
Well, we got you covered. Behind the Music isn't around anymore, but we're here to pick up the slack.
And be a little drunker.
Yeah, so go ahead and look for Rock Candy Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, or wherever you catch your pods. And with that, party on, kids.
Party on.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.